This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Because we have the choice to be miserable or joyful. Anybody want to be miserable today? Praise God. No miserable lights here. No miserable nights. We're eternal lights. Amen? Not human lights. Praise God. God is very good to us. Go ahead, lift your hands. Receive the breeze from heaven. Nice, cool breeze from your Father. And just thank Him. Thank Him. That's from the air conditioning part of heaven. Some people are going, this guy is crazy. You're right. I am absolutely nuts over Jesus. See, when you know my dad, he provides. My dad provides, I'm telling you. He does far above all I could ever ask or think, and the same for you. In His presence is what we so desire. See, He won't forget you. Go ahead, lift your hands and thank Him. That breeze is from your Father. He knows you're a little hot. He's waiting for you all to detox. Go ahead. There ain't nothing worse than a straight Christian. We all need to be drunk in the Spirit. Oh, thank you, Daddy. Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you so much. You know, one of the things God wants to do is reveal Himself to His children. You know, He wants you to know Him more than you want to know Him. Would you grab your Bibles and go to Exodus, please? Chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Starting at verse 1. Now, Lord, we just ask for illumination and revelation. We know that Your word is true and it won't return void. So, Lord, let the word pierce our spirit, soul, and body and flesh. And bring change, bring impartation, and bring life in Jesus' name. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sign, why the bush does not burn up. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to what? Look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. The word Egypt means the world in bondage. And I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to the land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites. And the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt, which means the world? And he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What should I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Now, there is so much in this scripture that it is phenomenal. First of all, the angel of the Lord in the flame of fire was the Word. Is everybody with me? The Bible says God is a consuming fire. I want you to know that the angel of the Lord that appeared to Moses, that brought the fire of God, the consuming, the glory, the Shekinah glory of God Almighty to that place, was Jesus. Amen. Is everybody with me? It was Jesus who was to come. Amen. He was the Word of God in His Shekinah glory. We now call Him Jesus. He declared to Moses, he said, listen, man, you just entered the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. Take the shoes off, man. You want to come in here? Why? Because the shoes defiled the holiness of God because they were associated with the walk of the world. Does everybody understand that? Moses was not born again. Moses was a sinner. He was an offspring of the serpent. Every one of us who is born into this realm is an offspring of darkness. Does everybody understand? That's why you must be born again. Is everybody okay? Because the fallen world. So Moses, the Lord declared to Moses, he said, listen, take off the shoes and come into my presence. And when Moses came into the presence of God, one of the things that God declared to Moses, and I want you to understand this because it's so important about God's presence. He first of all declared to Moses his will. Then he declares his name. And then he changes Moses to fit God's will. Where was this done? In the presence of God Almighty. Has everybody got it? In the presence of God Almighty. He said, I am who I am. That word actually means to be. It means existence. I am the existence of all things. We also represent this in the Hebrew language and what we call in English, Yahweh, Jehovah, or Lord. But now God manifested his name in the natural realm by sending the Word who became flesh, and his name we call now Jesus the Christ. The Christ. Now, Christ is not his last name. He's known as Christ Jesus. In other words, the anointed. Why? Because the word Christ means the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. The same one that was at the flame of the bush that burned and revealed himself to Moses was the Word who would become flesh and dwell amongst us and then leave his spirit for me and you. Is everybody okay? Egypt was known as the world. Now, it would be totally impossible for Moses to obey God without his presence. Is everybody with me? So, is it possible for you to obey God without God's presence? No. It's impossible. Totally impossible. You know, that's why the Bible says the letter kills and the spirit brings life. Because you may know the word but not obey it, and it will kill you. That's why we live in the presence of God. We must live in the presence of God. That's why God requires that we worship Him in His presence. Other than that, we become stinky religious. Why? Because in God's presence is where His will is revealed to you. He is revealed to you. He changes you and then sends you to do His will. In His presence. Other than that, we're still stuck in the world calling ourselves believers. But never cast out a devil. Never lay hands on the sick. Hello? The Bible says, and those who believe in My name, they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick. We should be signs and wonders to the world. We must be the light to the world, not associated as a common thing to the world. He said, come out from among them and be separate. And then I will be your Father and you will be My child. Because we're to be covenant-keeping children. And you can't keep covenant with carnal knowledge. It can only be established in His presence. Is everybody okay? Anybody okay? See, everything that God does is always it's spoken first. He always reveals something first before it manifests. See, so even Jesus, the Lord appeared to Abraham with two bodyguards. The same thing when the Lord was transfigured, right? On the mount, who showed up? Moses and who? Elijah. So the Old Testament is a rehearsal. It's a shadow of things to come. So the Old Testament isn't done away with. It's being fulfilled. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. So God says, I am who I am. In other words, to be. I am the existence of everything. Moses was in the image of the serpent. He had to be born. Listen, he was born in darkness but changed by the light. Given a purpose now. Given a purpose. Go to Ephesians 2. So Moses, it was impossible for Moses to fulfill the will of God without His presence. Does everybody get it? Ephesians chapter 2. And now, I want you to understand something. The children of Israel, first of all, when they were in bondage, they were in slavery to Egypt because of their rebellion. And they were in slavery for 400 years. And they were crying out. And God finally came and said, okay, I heard your cries. Time's up. Time to come on out. But He went to a man. He chose a man. Do you understand this? He chose a man. He could have gone there and wiped out everybody, all the Egyptians, and said, okay, come on. But He doesn't work that way. Because what He spoke, He can't come against. Do you understand that? So He's got to abide by His own words that He spoke. So He had to use a man. Because the ruler of this world is Satan. So we live in a fallen world that's ruled by Satan and the demonic forces that love to possess believers. They love to use them. They're not after the unsaved, they're after the saved. Are you getting it? That's why we must maintain the presence of God. It's amazing how many people think that a believer can't have a demon. Where do you think they're going? Ephesians chapter 2. So God uses man, doesn't He? But He chooses him. Same thing when Israel rejected God to be their king, they chose Saul. King Saul. And what did the Lord do? He took Saul. He told Samuel, the prophet, He said, go get Saul and bring him up to the mountain and worship the Lord. They worshiped the Lord and made offerings. The Spirit of God came upon Saul and changed him. But it started with worship. And then Saul had a heart that was pleasing to God. But then Saul became prideful. He wanted to do things his way after a period of time. And the Lord removed him and put David. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it. And you he made alive who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. And once you once walked according to the course of this world, that's what was called as Egypt, according to the what? Prince of power of error, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Now, I want you to get this, because we were born in the image of the serpent. You were born in darkness. We were born in sin. Sin means the presence of evil. It is not the act. Transgression is the act. And then iniquity brings a curse down the family line. That's why when you go to a doctor, he's always looking for something in your blood. Why? Because that stuff in your blood comes from a curse. Now, so we see here that the prince of power of error is still working in the sons of disobedience. Obedience and rebellion to the ways of God, because we were born in darkness. You are not born in the image and likeness of God. We are born again in his image and likeness. Adam and Eve were born in the image and likeness of God. Actually, Adam was born in the image and likeness of God, and Eve was born in the image of Adam, who was in the image and likeness of God. Is everybody okay? Okay. Hallelujah. But when they fell, they were no longer in the image and likeness of God, were they? They are the offspring of darkness now. And the life now of the flesh is in the blood. Is everybody okay? Good. Praise God. Let's go a little further. Now, let's read verse 2 again. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit of power of air, the prince of power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, because by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, you've been granted the gift of salvation, but you must maintain it. Amen. That's why you must work out your own salvation. Amen. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It didn't say that you will walk in them. It says that we should walk in them. Why? Because you have the choice to obey or disobey. Has everybody got it? Now the prince again, the prince of the power of air, the spirits and the son of disobedience, is the offspring of the serpent, the old man. But we must be born again in Christ for good works. Go to Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. And if you need a Bible, we have them. I wouldn't want you to think that I was making any of this stuff up. Psalm chapter 1. And verse 1. Blessed is the man. Hold on a second. Blessed is the what? Amen. What's the opposite of blessed? Choice. Amen. He said, blessed is a man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, what spirit do you think that might be? How about called the prince of power of error? The one that works in the sons of disobedience. Nor stands in the path of sinners, and sin means the presence of evil. So these are individuals who are living in sin. In the presence of evil. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and is in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a what? Tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does he shall what? So we see that he's calling us If we're not willing, if we reject the counsel of the world, the spirit, the Antichrist spirit, spirit of fear and so forth, demonic fear, spirits, if we will reject them and not take their counsel, but obey God, we will be known as blessed. But he says something important. He says, they will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In other words, that's the place where you get a drink. That's close to the river. Now, you get a drink from God's presence. That's why when you worship God, you're actually getting a drink. But now look what he says to those who refuse to obey God. They, the ungodly, are not so, but they are like the what? Chaff, which the wind drives away. In other words, they are dried up chaff where the wind comes and blows them away. But we are trees to be planted by the river. We are strong. We grow root. We're strong in the Lord and we bear fruit. The other one isn't. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. They shall what? Perish. So there is blessed and there is cursed. The blessed are trees planted by the rivers, and the cursed are dried shaft. They are wind that drives away, that's driven away. The blessed are the ones with his presence. Are you listening? And the cursed are the ones with the without his presence. Is everybody with me? So they are in the presence of the enemy. They're in the presence of the evil presence, aren't they? Is everybody okay? Yes. Again, it is impossible to obey God without the presence of God. What presence you live in is what you'll obey. What presence you live in is what you'll obey. Go to Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. Everybody there? And the Lord told Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy this. It says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God. Now, he's not talking about a physical king. He's talking about Lucifer. He says, you were the seal of perfection. There was no man of the seal of perfection except for Jesus. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Why? Because he was in the presence of God. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, braille, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. He was covered. Lucifer was covered with the gems and the precious stones of the earth because he was the praise and worship leader of the universe, and the earth was known as the mountain of God in the universe, and it was inhabited by angels, and praise used to leave the earth to the universe. Is everybody okay? Watch. It says, the workmanship of your what? Timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. So God used to breathe to Lucifer, and music would go out, and praise and worship would go through the whole universe. And the presence of God was revealed. In verse 14, it says, you are the anointed cherub who covers. What does he do? He covers the universe with praise. He said, I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God, which was known as the earth. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. In other words, Lucifer was there when God created the earth. So he said, now listen. He said, you were the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes that were prepared on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub, which means archangel, angel, who covers the universe with praise and worship. I establish you. You were on the holy mountain of God, known as the earth. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones because he was there when God created the earth. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. In other words, Lucifer was a praise and worship leader of the universe to bring God's presence until his beauty and wisdom became his own idol. He became self-centered. And instead of bringing the presence of God, he wanted people to come into his presence. He wanted the angels to worship him now. And that was called iniquity. He believed he deserved to be worshipped because he desired his, he became an idol of his beauty. He believed that he should be worshipped instead of God. And he established what we call the I syndrome. He established the what? I syndrome. Go to Isaiah 14. Now, can you imagine if every believer was in fellowship where people praised and worshiped all with all they had? Man, what a change it would be. First of all, there wouldn't be any more denominations. They'd be melted away. There wouldn't be any competition. There wouldn't be individual doctrine. There'd be one. One. Why? Because the presence of God would have preeminence over everything. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Come on, read this with me. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Does everybody see that? He had fallen from God's presence. Does everybody understand that? God removed him from his presence. Now the word Lucifer, there's a word that comes out of it we call lucky. So don't say you're lucky, you're blessed. Amen. Lucky comes from the word Lucifer. Has everybody got it? Yeah, but you don't understand how lucky I am. No, you're an idiot. The word is called blessed, not lucky. That actually brings a curse on you. And get rid of all those charms out of your houses, okay, that you think bring luck. Because those are cursed items. And they bring curses in your home. Anyways, that's a whole nother teaching. O Lucifer, how you have fallen, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground. You who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, here we go, here's the eye syndrome. Now there are actually five eyes. I will ascend into heaven. In other words, if he said he was going to ascend into heaven, he had to be somewhere lower than heaven. It was called the earth. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. But God always has the last say. And he said, see ya. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, which means hell, to the lowest depths of the pit, which you will be bound for 1,000 years. Now this is powerful because Lucifer became self-centered, love of self, manifested the eye syndrome with five eyes. Each eye representing, this is what each eye represents. The first eye, well of course the total of it is called pride. And there's five letters in pride. Each I represents pride. The first one is P, which means personal. In other words, you. Personal. The second I means personal reverence. The third I means into. In other words, personal reverence into yourself. Has everybody got it? But it's actually leading to something because it's personal reverence into a deadly end. That's what pride means. It's called the five eyes. Personal reverence into a deadly end. Because of self-centered, love of self, it always manifests the I syndrome. And you and I were born in that. So everybody got it. Why? Because the five eyes is called pride, which protects Satan's presence. It protects self, because we are the offsprings of Satan, known as self. But when you are born again, your spirit is awakened. You get a new spirit. And now you're always combating within you the old and the new. And the only way that you're going to obey God is with the presence of God. Or you obey the old. Is everybody okay? Ephesians 4. The five eyes. Now, that's Satan's fivefold ministry. Personal reverence unto a deadly end called pride. In Ephesians 4, God established his fivefold ministry to combat Satan's ministry. In verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, which is known as the fivefold ministry. But there's an office that's not spoken on because it's supposed to be automatically understood, because you can't fulfill these until you fulfilled your priesthood. And priesthood is one who ministers to the Lord, and that's in worship. So everybody got it? See, it should be automatically understood. That's why it's not here. Because the Bible says that we are called a nation of priests. We are a generation of priesthood. It's automatically understood. Because if you can't minister to the Lord, you got no right ministering to nobody else. Because you're just going to bring that person into bondage anyways. So the fivefold ministry is for, in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. To a what? Perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, meaning the anointing, which is the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, which came to Moses. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried around with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effect of working, by which every part does his share. How's it going to do his share? Without the presence of God. It can't. Because it can't obey God. You can only go so far. You have limitations on your life. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The fivefold ministry was created by God to combat Satan's presence. With the priesthood is the first office, which is automatically understood as ministers to God and not ministers to Satan. Because at one time, we are servants of darkness, ministering to the presence of evil, not even knowing it. See, because we came from the presence of God, we're always looking for the presence of God, but Satan puts things in our way, like sex, drugs, rock and roll, you know, all of that stuff. Things of the world. I mean, there's rock and roll Christian music, which is, you know, whatever. Contemporary outer court, you know. But, you know, he puts money, fame, and power. He puts God's presence, but it's not God's presence. He likes to imitate God's presence in a bottle, in a joint, in a pill, whatever it is. Because you're actually looking for the utopia of God's presence, that high. See, but the devil calls it a high. I mean, I used to get high. I was an addict for over 20 years looking for God's presence. It, no. It cost me lots of money for that stuff. Cost me my marriage, cost me everything. I became married to the presence of evil. I was an addict for his presence, not knowing that it was the presence of God I was looking for. But you know what? One touch from his presence, just one little touch from his presence, and I realized I've been lied to my whole life. And I realized that everything that I was looking for in the bottle and the pill and the bed and the money and the fame and the businesses and everything else, I was looking for his presence for fulfillment. I was looking for that utopia. And it only can come from his presence. And let me tell you, I was never the same. See, I wasn't born into this realm this way. I was birthed in his presence this way. Hallelujah. Never the same. Woo! Go to James 4. Again, it is impossible to obey the fullness of God without his presence. That's why the devil loves to keep people away from the presence of God. They become religious. Oh, I read my word. That's nice. So you know the truth, but you can't obey it. That's why the letter kills and the spirit brings life. James chapter 4. Let's start at verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your what? Desires for pleasure that war your members. Where is that desire for pleasure? In the presence of evil. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You can't obtain God's presence. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures to fulfill the presence of evil. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And a friend of the world is a fornicator. A friend of the world is an addict. A friend of the world is a liar. A friend of the world is a deceiver. Has everybody got it? All of these things, they practice things of the world because they're actually fulfilling and maintaining the presence of evil. Sin means the presence of evil. And you cannot break free from that without the presence of God. Hallelujah. And verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Now I want you to understand that these letters are written to the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ was getting messed up. He says, come out from among them and be separate and don't touch anything unclean. In other words, come out from the world. But people who get saved, they go back into the world and they think they're actually saved. But see, what presence you're in when you die is where you go. So who you serve when you die is where you go. Because whatever presence you're in is who you serve. And verse 6, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God what? Resist the proud, P-R-I-D-E, pride. Personal reverence unto a deadly end, the five eyes, the eye syndrome, which is the presence of evil. But he gives grace to the humble, therefore submit to what? God resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Okay, here it is. You ready? It is impossible to resist the devil without submitting to God. It is impossible to resist the temptations of darkness until you are submitted to him. It is impossible, my brothers and sisters. I want to tell you again, it is impossible to do that. I don't care how many times you go to church, until you submit to what he says to do. Submitting to God. And you can't do that without the presence of God. It's impossible. You cannot resist the temptations of the devil. You cannot resist his voice. You cannot resist his desires. You cannot resist the evil presence of evil. You can't. You will go right back into it without the presence of God. That's why people get healed. And they go back in the world and lose it. That's why people get freed from drugs and alcohol. They go back to the world and lose it. You know why? Because they did not maintain the presence of God that allows them to submit to God to resist the devil. You cannot resist the devil without the presence of God. Has everybody got it? It must be understood today, because when you leave this park, you better know this. Because the devil is getting stronger, there's more demonic activity being released in the world. That's why many believers are going to turn from God. The Bible says that many will fall from the faith, taking heed from deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. They will actually claim to be believers, but follow another doctrine. And in the end, if they're left behind, they will take the mark. Hopefully they won't. But if you are left behind, I want to tell you now, if you are left behind when the rapture is taken, do not take the mark. Let them cut your head off. Let them torture you. Because if you take that mark, you are eternally lost. Has everybody got it? Praise God. Let's go a little further. Is everybody okay? Still love me? Galatians 5. I want to welcome anybody here as their first time. Don't be offended. Get free. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There it is. Walking in the presence of God. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Because you will be able to submit to God to resist the devil. Because you cannot resist the devil without submitting to God. And you cannot submit to God without the presence of God. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but is of the what? And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, how are you going to do the will of God? Staying in his presence. How are you going to get his presence? Worship! Worship. It's amazing how many people try. Oh, man, I'm really trying hard, man. I'm telling you, I'm reading my word. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Well, have you worshiped the Lord yet? Well, yeah, I talked to him. No. Go to Psalm 133. Let's get this over with right now. Psalm 133. You know how many people run from the presence of God? They got every excuse possible. Oh, hey, this hurts, that hurts. Where do you think you need to go? You need to get in God's presence if you don't feel good. Oh, I'm tired. I gotta work. I gotta do this. And I. So you become the I syndrome. And then pride is protecting self, which is the old man who loves the presence of evil. Then you begin to serve the enemy and wonder how you got there. I don't know how I got there. Man, I've been reading my word. That ain't enough. The letter kills and the spirit brings life. Amen. Now you're hearing from the word, aren't you? But the presence of God is here too. Amen. See, the Bible talks about the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the word backed by the anointing. Other than that, it's just seed. Now, you know you all won't want to be just farmers. Right? I know you all don't want to be just farmers. You want to be warriors. Well, then you need to have the sword of the Spirit and quit letting the devil convince you not to get in God's presence and worship Him. Because if you can't submit to God, you can't resist the devil. Psalm 133. Is everybody there? Oh, yes. What does it say? Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, he's not talking about a dinner function. It is like the precious oil upon the head. He's talking about in praise, corporate worship. The precious oil is the anointing of the presence of God. And he says, it's running down It starts on the head. And thank God some of you women don't have beards, but running down on the beard. The beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his what? Garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord commanded the what? Blessing, life forevermore. Why? Because in his presence there is life. That's where he commands. He commands the blessing. Do you get it? He commands the blessing. Now, where does the blessing come from? The presence of God. 1 John chapter 4. We're almost done. I said almost. We still got about 40 more scriptures. First John chapter 4. Are y'all getting this? I mean, you got this. Come on, it's got to get in you. It's got to get imparted in you. It's a matter of life and death. Because you won't be able to endure. Listen, you know what's going on in the world. That's not getting easier. There's going to be a last move of God. In fact, we're in it already. But it's going to be for a little while. We're in the last move of God already. Do you know that? And it's building, 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 and building. The Bible tells us, the Spirit, the anointing tells us things to come. And he guides us to all truth. That's the presence of God. The eternal presence, power, and truth. The world lies. But you know, it's amazing. Because even when Satan was called in the book of Job, the Bible says that Satan had to come up before God with all the rest of the angels. And the Lord said, where you been, Satan? Satan couldn't lie to God in the presence, in his presence. He couldn't lie. He had to tell him the truth. He would have probably blown up if he did. See, so in the presence of God, there is that. You can't lie. If you've ever had a visitation from the Lord, let me tell you, you can't say anything. That's all you want to do is, forgive me. Man, I'm an idiot. I'm wretched. I'm no good. Before you can even say anything, he's already forgiven you. Before you can even finish the thought, he's already answered you. Have you ever had a visitation from the Lord or in his presence? In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, is everybody there? Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Hello? Whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which we have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. That's why it's important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's nice, you've been baptized in water. Okay. But there's no power in water. There's power in the Spirit. That's why you need to be baptized in the Spirit. And if you don't know you haven't been baptized or not in the Spirit, you haven't. Because when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know it. Okay. It says, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God, he who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us, but this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of what? Of error. Whoa. The spirit of truth. Why? Because the spirit of truth is in the presence of God, and the spirit of error or lying spirit is in the presence of evil. Everybody okay? So, the Bible says, in the presence of God, you're able to submit to God to resist the devil. That's walking in the Spirit. Walking in the flesh is the lust of the world. Has everybody got it? You can't resist the devil. That's where the devil hangs out. God hangs out in his presence. The devil hangs out in his presence. Hello. Now, the ruler of the world is Satan. So his presence is everywhere. Now, well, I thought God was the only one omnipresent. Listen, omnipresent means past, present, and future. God is eternal. Satan's kingdom is all over this realm, all over this world. He has fallen angels in charge of a third of the angels. These angels are called principalities that are in charge of all nations. And then underneath them is wickedness in heavenly places. There's rulers of the darkness, which are humans who serve Satan on purpose. And they are in government officials and many other places. And they have willingly served Satan because he's promised them rich and fame in this realm. And then there are demons, which are disembodied spirits, which are under control of what we call strong men, who are high-ranking demons. And these spirits are looking for a body to dwell in. And they don't care who. They don't care who. But they have been assigned to believers to try to get them back to the world because Satan has lost them. Is everybody okay? So, the presence of God, understand that we came from the presence of God. And in the presence of God, there is wisdom and understanding. But in the presence of evil, there is deception and fear. I want you to understand this. Yes, there's carnal wisdom and understanding, but it's the things of the world. But to understand the things of the Spirit, wisdom tells you what to do according to the Spirit. Understanding. God, the Bible says, get understanding. Get wisdom, but on all you're getting, get understanding. And in this, we see that Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. So everybody got it? I want to go to 2 Corinthians 3. Now let's go to Romans 8 first. And then we'll go to one more scripture, okay? We'll skip the other 38. Romans 8, maybe. God willing. Come on, are you learning something? Romans 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the what? Come on, read it with me. To live according to the flesh. Now, if you live according to the flesh, whose presence are you living in? Satan's. Evil presence. It's called sin. For if you live according to the flesh, you will what? You're going to die. Yeah, but Jesus is my Savior. Listen, where you're living and when you die, where you're living is where you're going. That's such a baloney doctrine. Once saved, always saved. Well, I was saved 40 years ago, but I've been serving the devil, going bar hopping every weekend, sleeping with every person I know. Oh, yes, I'm going to heaven. You're an idiot. You're going to hell. And you've been under deception, because Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear, and there's no reverence and fear of God in you. Because the only thing in you is the presence of evil, not God. Because if the presence of God was there, there'd be conviction and turning away from evil. Has everybody got it? Because you'd be doing those things that please God, because the presence of God is there. You submit to God, you're able to resist the devil. If you cannot resist the devil, it's because you're living in his presence. Okay. Verse 13, one more time. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So those who are not led by the Spirit of God are called sons of the devil. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage. Hello. Again to what? Fear. Why? Because in Satan's presence, in the evil presence, the world all covered with evil presence, the prince of power of air is bondage. It's ruled by deception and fear. It's ruled by deception and fear. And the only way out is with the presence of God through Christ Jesus. Not just being your Savior, but becoming your Lord, where he lords your life by his presence. Has everybody got it? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed. That means you got a choice. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified with him. Now go to 2 Corinthians 3. The I syndrome. PRIDE. Personal reverence into a deadly end. It is a presence of evil. What presence are you living in? Verse 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 15. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Well, I didn't see anybody run yet, so praise God. Now, I want you to understand something. The Bible says God chastens those he loves. If you saw your children getting ready to go into a building that was going to blow up, you'd do everything you could. I want you to know that even though you're hearing a harsh word today, but God loves you. And time is running out. And he does not want to lose you. He loves you too much. He desires no one to perish. No one. He loves you that he put on flesh himself, came into the natural realm and hung on the cross and died, was tortured, spit on, beaten, abused, and his flesh was torn apart for me and you. That we could be saved. And then he left his spirit that could live in us so that we could obey him and walk in his presence, submit to all of his ways, and be able to resist the devil, because God is calling us to rescue the rest of his children, just like he called Moses. There's no coincidence you're here today. None. None whatsoever. You're here because there's a higher calling in your life than what you've agreed with by the enemy. There's more for God, and there's more for you to do. Never put a limitation on God. Never. Never let your job be your fulfillment or your family be your fulfillment. Never let your bank account be your fulfillment. Your fulfillment comes from the presence of the Lord. Or you're in the presence of evil. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 15. Are we there yet? Ooh. Let's go to 14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now he's going to tell you who the Lord is. Now the Lord is the what? The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty, or what we call freedom. Because in God's presence is freedom. But in the presence of evil, there is bondage. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Only in his presence are you transformed. Into the same image of the glory, from glory to glory. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the more you get in God's presence, the more you change. It is not intellectual change. It is presence change. Has everybody got it? Because the devil comes and steals the intellectual. And tries to move you out of the presence of God. That's why we must maintain our first office called priesthood. And that is one who ministers to the Lord in worship and praise. Maintain his presence. Then you'll be able to submit to God and resist the devil. But without his presence, it is impossible I don't know. I don't care how much you know of the word. I don't care if you can memorize the page numbers. Without the presence of God, you cannot submit. Is everybody okay? Yes. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I pray the blood of the Lamb upon each and every one's seed that has been imparted today from you, that it would grow and bear fruit for your glory. Lord, I pray today that you will plant us as trees next to the river where we can get continuous revelation, continue to stay filled, and live in your presence all the days of our life. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Hallelujah!